Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And Jesus told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now, I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" The gardener said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's getting close to gardening time. You can kind of smell the moisture in the air, a nice, at least warmer breeze coming up from the south, from the Gulf of Mexico. You can probably start planning when you're going to be doing some things out in your garden or your planting beds. As soon as the ground gets warm enough, people will head on out there. How appropriate in the scriptures we hear today about tending to a fig tree that hasn't been producing figs. The gardener proposes that he cultivate the ground around it and provide some fertilizer for it so that to get some good fruit. Today the Holy Spirit is inviting us to do some of those kinds of things, to cultivate our spiritual lives through prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And we are invited to do this so we can recognize that when we live in Christ, we're living a holy life. We're on holy ground. So first things is we have to cultivate this spirituality. Lent gives us an opportunity to focus our intention on doing things to draw closer, to deepen our spiritual life. It's not unlike working in a garden, except on a spiritual level. What do you do when you work the garden? Well, when you head on out there, you'll have to clear away the old dead stuff that's not really working, that's from last year. So first thing is get rid of that. And then when you have a chance, once the ground is ready, you can turn it, shovel it, turning it over, pulling out any rocks. If the mixture of the soil isn't right, you might add some things to make it a better soil for growing. Add some peat or some mulch or whatever it might be. And that's a good model for what our spiritual life, what our practices of prayer and fasting and almsgiving are meant to be with. Through fasting, what we do is we take out anything in our life that could be a stumbling block for us, a stone that gets in the way of our drawing closer to God. There's a habit we've picked up over the winter, the long winter, a habit of eating something or drinking that's not healthy for us, or going places on the internet that are harmful to us. We can remove those stones by a practice of fasting from these things. Through prayer, what we do, well, we give our hearts open to God. It's nuts, as if we're working the ground of our heart so that the Word of God can take root and can blossom. And when we give alms, when we give things away, basically we're making room. Give things that we have away, and then that creates space so that we can receive blessings from God. So we have to cultivate our spiritual lives. It's not unlike working in the garden. The next thing we do is we need to fertilize the garden. And there's a great image in the scripture that maybe needs a little explaining, where the gardener is talking about this fig tree that isn't working, and he's telling the master, don't just chop it down yet, but let me work on it a little bit. Let me add some fertilizer to it. Well, now, when he said that word in the ancient Near East, there was only one kind of fertilizer. And it wasn't Scott's, whatever you buy at the store, the 20-20-20. It was good old-fashioned manure. That's what it was. And that's what fertilizer, that's how it all began. And the people who heard this, now, when they hear Jesus telling a parable about a tree, well, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, a very common image for the people of Israel would have been a seedling or a shoot or a young tree or a branch or a vine. So that when they heard Jesus talking about this fig tree, they could well have thought that he was talking about the whole people of Israel, and the whole gospel parable could be about how they are either following the way of Christ or not following the way of Christ. And it could have been directed toward the scribes and the chief priests and the Pharisees, who maybe weren't, in Jesus' mind, even following the Jewish law to its fulfillment or to what God's intention was. So when the people hear this story about taking fertilizer, which is manure, and kind of packing it around a fig tree, that would have been kind of a funny image for them, because they might have thought of their religious leaders or representatives of the community having a little bit of fertilizer piled around them. And for them, that could have been Jesus having a playful look at, sometimes in God's plan, God is going to take the mighty, God's going to take those in power, and God's going to humble them, and God's going to lift up and going to lift them up through earthy means and through very concrete and very very everyday ways of fertilizing their lives. I mean, basically, when I think of this kind of fertilizer, I think of the daily events in our lives, things we don't like, things we'd rather do without, things that happen to us and we say, that really stinks. Things that are going on, those I think are how, that's where God is fertilizing our spiritual life, if we allow God to do that. That kind of fertilizer, it's the struggles we have in the office when we are wondering what's the right thing to do, or it's the worry we have about caring for our family sufficiently and with adequate resources. What Jesus does is he lays out these kind of difficult moments and he says, this is actually fertilizer. This is how our spiritual life grows. This is what causes us to enter more deeply into prayer. This is where we marshal all our creativity to follow the Lord and serve our family. We all have a lot of this kind of fertilizer in life. We don't have to look far for it. Jesus is simply saying, don't run from it, because it's a normal part of deepening a spiritual life. And that's what the Holy Spirit's asking us to do, to cultivate our spiritual life, to make the most of the manure, if you will, that's all around us that we have to deal with. And there's a reason for it, and the reason is revealed in the first reading, in the book where we hear in the book of Exodus about Moses encountering the burning bush. This is a powerful story. It's the beginning of God's revelation to Moses, which will lead to Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. And Moses says something that is good for us to imitate. He sees something unusual and he says, I must go look at this remarkable sight. He's looking at a bush that's burned but not consumed. And he goes over there, and that's what his curiosity is, what opens up the whole history of salvation for him and for all the people of Israel. God says, remove your sandals, Moses. Where you stand is holy ground. Now, God... Moses tries to pin that God down and tries to find out, who are you that's actually revealing yourself to me? Are you complete mystery? What is your name? How will I know you? And God reveals, he says, I am what I am. Another way to say it, I cause to be whatever I cause to be, or I will be whatever I will be. Basically, God is not answering Moses. God says, who I am is for me to know, and it's for you to find out. That's what he was saying to Moses. And then proceeded to begin that revelation as the people of Israel were led out of Egypt to the promised land. We who are Roman Catholics, and we who follow Christ, we believe that that revelation has been brought to fulfillment. And we believe that whereas Moses was told, come no nearer, for the place where you stand is holy ground, we believe that through Christ, God has invited each one of us to literally live all our days and nights, every moment of our life, every moment of our existence, smack dab in the middle of that holy ground. So it's as if God doesn't say to us, come no nearer, but he says, come all, come close, because the mystery has been revealed, and Christ will reveal that mystery unfolding in each one of your lives. And that's what's remarkable for us. What's remarkable for us is the everyday events of our lives are indeed the burning bush in which God's grace will be made known. And sometimes that will be a wonderful experience. Sometimes that will be a difficult experience. Because God is going to be made known in every part of our lives. You know, every time we gather for Eucharist, I think this is a remarkable gathering. And God says, I will make myself known in the community of the faithful. Look at us today. We are from different parts of the United States. We are from different countries. We cover all the political spectrum. We are young. We are old. Some of us are rich. Some of us are poor. We're everywhere in between. And yet we've all gathered remarkably around the table of Jesus Christ. And we make the common profession of faith, Jesus, I believe you are revealed here. That's an amazing thing. Parents, it's remarkable. Think for a moment about a young person. Parents or aunts or uncles, think about your young niece or nephew. And now one minute, you seem to be carrying them around like a little one, or you're chasing them around like a two-year-old, and then before you know it, they're getting their first communion. They're going into high school. They're graduated from high school. They're getting married. They have kids. Your grandma, your grandpa. It's remarkable because how'd that happen? How did that happen? Well, we helped, but it's by the grace of God. This miracle of God's grace unfolding, and each moment of a young person's life as they come into their own is yet a further revelation of the miracle of God's creation, and also God's salvation at work in them as they make their way through all the trials and tribulations of life. Another thing that amazes me that I think is a remarkable sign of Christ being revealed, or God being revealed in the world, is how you all, parents, siblings, brothers and sisters, how you take care of people who have special needs. It might just be someone in the family who's sick and you're doing something special for them. Or maybe it's someone who has a lifelong special need where you have to do extra things for them. I think it's amazing how you do that. And how when you do that, that is a clear revealing of the very heart of God. Because when we sacrifice to care for others, my friends, that is holy ground. That is sacred space. And that's what the scriptures invite us to understand today, that the place where we stand is holy ground. And it's holy because God has deemed it so. And God has chosen us to walk on this holy ground and to live this sacred life. Do we do it perfectly? Of course not. We are sinners. That's why we're here. We're calling out for God's grace to see, to understand, to open our hearts better. The point of cultivating a spiritual life is so that we can understand this mystery in which we live. So my friends, as we leave our celebration, well, firstly, let's not underestimate the power of this holy ground, this sacred gathering. And this power will be with us as we get in our cars and we get out to I-435. That's holy ground. And when we're wandering around today, wherever we might be, whether at home or Perhaps we're visiting friends, or perhaps some sort of, who knows, athletic event or errand at the store. That's holy ground. That's sacred space. And we might have some fertilizer in the day, and I'd have to deal with some of that, but that's holy as well, because that's leading us to a deeper place of faith. Young people, when you're tempted to stray today and you're trying to think, what's the right thing that I should do right now? Remember that you are on holy ground. God will give you everything you need to make the right choice. Each one of us, we can do the right thing because we've been inspired by this gift.